I'm chatting this morning with Professor Claire Jackson, who is Director of the Centre for Health System Reform and Integration at the University of Queensland, and also with Steve Hamilton, former President of the AMA, who's now a member of the Healthcare Homes Implementation Advisory Group. Welcome, both of you, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Kate.
You two have written a perspective for an upcoming MJA on healthcare homes, which has received a lot of attention and a fair amount of negative feedback from groups like the RACGP. What's important about the healthcare homes, and why do we need to be very careful how this is set up and supported?
We were asked by the previous Minister of Health in the Primary Healthcare Advisory Group to look at what was happening in Australia and internationally and innovative models of care for the chronic and complex patients in our country. The reason that we were asked to do that is that when you reflect on the costs of healthcare, and if you project those forward, it was pretty clear that the current model of care was going to see us spending more and more to an unaffordable point in the future. We see that there's something like 20% of the population have chronic conditions, and that doubles to about 40% of people over 45. And because of our advanced ability to treat some of these conditions, that increasing demand for health services is outpacing GDP. So yes, unless we start looking at new models of care, we simply can't afford to keep going in the current model. And I think there are a lot of opportunities that we saw under the Primary Healthcare Advisory Group, and we put those into recommendations for government. And they were all accepted, actually, by government in April 2016.
Following up from that one, I think the two things that I think are most important in, first of all, is the healthcare home concept is the only way we can continue to deliver quality patient-centeredness and the efficiency of care we need for Australians with complex chronic conditions going forward. There is no other way we will be able to support these very needy Australians. And secondly, I think the actual concept of healthcare home has been endorsed by federal government, all state governments, all professional organisations and consumer bodies. It's the actual mechanism of testing the model in Australia that I think is the area that's drawn criticism. And yes, Kate, I think when you look back through those comments, it won't be actually the concept itself. It's the way the current Department of Health is approaching the implementation that I think is the sticking point. And Steve and I both acknowledge that. In the article.
Yes, you do. You do.
The piece that's really critical and was in the 15 recommendations from the CAG is the wraparound support around the healthcare home, the care coordination, the better link with secondary care and social care. All those things are really critical. So we are going to be testing the healthcare home in stage one over the next 18 months, but it's actually those wraparound supports that our committee very strongly recommended as well that I think we need to be mindful of in the testing as well.
One of the criticisms has been that the trial is underfunded. Do you agree with that? And if it is underfunded, what needs to be done?
If there's a criticism about funding, I think that it's going to be one of the evaluation questions that need to be very closely looked at. What the government has done is actually analysed how much is being spent on chronic and complex care in Australia currently, reallocated that funding to the trial of the healthcare homes stage one rollout, risk stratified that so that more money is spent on more complex care, so that we can, you know, better target the care. And I think this forms part of the evaluation. You know, we want to empower the patients. We want to help practices look after people appropriately. At the moment, we've got one size fits all, and that just doesn't work. We do need to make some changes in how that funding is delivered over what period of time. And certainly, we want to look at the quantum. But when we talk to practices that have analysed the numbers, we get some responses that there is an increase in investment in this area. So we do need to evaluate it. There's some concerns about the quantum. I think that's part of the question we need to answer.
The area I think that is also very much criticised is the one-off payment to the practices of $10,000 to undertake really a massive amount. And when you look at that box one that we've appended there, you know, they need to participate in the EPIP. They need to actually do a fulsome training around a practice transformation for the entire practice. They need to actually recruit their patients, explain around that. They need to make sure everyone has a current My Health record, so set that up. They need to actually then provide care coordination for the patients. So for some practices, that might be available through their primary health network or other groups. For others, that won't be available at all, and they will have to provide that. And then they'll have to provide advanced access to their patients for in-hours and after-hours support. And ensure that their enrolled patients have savvy access to after-hours care, and then they need to participate in the evaluation. So most of the practices that have fed back to us have said their participation in this is really an investment in the future.
Yeah.
They know that it will be far less than is needed, the $10,000 quantum, to really achieve all of that. But they're prepared to wear that in the initial stages to be part of the initiative.
So in a sense, they're banking on A, the HCH being a success, and B, that successive governments will continue to back it up.
I think you're right. They're trying to get their head around the business practices and changes that they might need to make.
Yeah.
And also, I think given that it is called a Stage 1 initiative, and because COAG have committed to it so universally, and also because the system's going to, as Steve said, be unsustainable with the status quo, I think they're feeling they'll get some advanced involvement and understanding of the business practices for the future, and that will be a benefit for them.
I'd add that this really has bipartisan support. The opposition has been watching this trial. Obviously, it was running health prior to the change in government, and really understands that we do need to do things differently in healthcare to get solutions for the looming problem. And, Medicare was designed over 30 years ago. The main problems then were acute, one-off. Our system has changed. We need a new system to be able to cope with it.
Steve, do you think practices are hanging back, waiting to see how Stage 1 goes?
Look, I think practices do have a long time to wait. There's a two-year trial. The trial will need to be evaluated. There'll be learnings from that process. Clearly, we're going in this direction. Everyone supports the process, and it's a matter of, well, what are the changes that we need to make? How do we make this fit into the clinical workflow? Practices will need to continue what they're doing for some time. At the same time, we've got a Medicare benefit schedule review, which is making changes, and really those changes will have a future view of the increasing role of digital health and the increasing role of longitudinal care. But practices, while they won't be participating, will be very interested in how this process goes, because it's likely to be a much more broader universal application to this sort of model.
The other thing, following up on that comment that Steve made, while we include in the paper that the other 21 primary health networks who aren't involved in Stage 1 have been asked by the department to be mindful of the model as they undertake their practice innovation approach, and working with quite a number of primary health networks to prepare their practices for a health care home model of care without actually formally being part of the whole requirements for the trial that the Stage 1 practices are. So I think we see a lot of practices and many primary health networks being involved in some way in healthcare home, even if they're not involved formally in Stage 1.
This model of care exists already in many practices.
Yes.
There is a longitudinal view. People are trying to pick up elements of the model, and this the healthcare home recommendations from the Primary Healthcare Advisory Group really formalise those. Some people are tempted to say it's just a change in the funding model. It's much more than that. Well, it is a seismic change, and it will take a significant cultural change process. There needs to be different forms of monitoring. We need to think about our team, better use of the team, delegating care to other team members, coordinating care, solving some of those communication issues, patient education, health literacy support. All of these things are part of that model, and in particular, data collection, reflection of that data, continuous quality improvement is all part of the healthcare home model.
Can I also say, though, Kate, that we've done quite a lot of workshops mm-hmm. around healthcare home around the country, and there is always a practice at the workshop that puts their hand up and says, we do all of this currently. We don't have a funding model to support it, but because we believe in it, we provide after-hours access to our patients. We provide email access and phone consultations and SMS and texting clinically because we believe we don't want our patients and link with their clinicians to be only face-to-face. And we do innovate around our data collection and look at that and how that could be improved. And we do work with our primary health network to link in care management and case management around it. So I agree in the one way that it is a seismic shift for many practices, but for some, they're actually doing this at the moment. It's just they have a business model that's unusual that allows them to deliver this care in spite of the disincentives through Medicare remuneration around face-to-face is the only way to go. It is the way we're going to be going forward. The health system is unsustainable without a major change in the way we deliver and fund services. And the only final thing I would say, which I have learned mostly from the work we've done on healthcare home with our New Zealand colleagues, is that patient practice and population and our need to be very much on board with this because this is a very different model of care for them, particularly older, frail Australians who are used to receiving care in a particular way, they absolutely have to be on board early on and really shaping how it looks at the practice level and understanding why the change is occurring and what the benefits will be for them quite clearly.
Certainly a huge opportunity to actually better engage patients in their own care. Yep. At the moment, they find care fragmented. Yep. So if we can sort of solve some of those things and empower the patient more, stop the frustration, stop the disengagement, improve communication, I think it'll make a huge difference. It'll give them a large greater ability to actually impact their own outcomes.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Kate.